Hello, how are you?
Hey, Auntie, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm great, man. Who
What?
all on the line? Just me and you?
Me and you so far.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm good. Just moved in this crib, trying to get everything put up, and well, Jeanette trying to get
Awesome.
everything put up.
You help her out. Don't let her do that by herself.
No, I've been trying to help her out like I help her out. I don't believe in that. But a lot of it is like stuff she know where it's gonna go, and Jeanette like her stuff a certain way. But she got it. I've been helping her out, dog, to be on the real.
Yeah, help her out. Don't let her do it by herself, because sometimes we need help, even though we don't like to say so. And don't get in the way either. No, let me stop.
Nah, cause I so get out of the way quick. I go in the room somewhere, watch me a movie, sit down.
Okay. See, that's the
She
thing.
just,
Don't be in there just watching movies. She need help.
yeah,
Look,
nah, she
especially if
do.
y'all got as much stuff as I had, boy, y'all need help. Look.
She got
Yeah.
stuff. I'm surprised we moved everything in it that one day, but I think we was just in a hotel for so long. I honestly didn't think it was gonna take that long.
Yeah. Hello, caller. Who else on the line?
It is me. Good
Yeah,
evening.
well, hello there, Apostle.
Good
How are you?
evening.
Well, that was a warm greeting, Arnold and Donna.
Hey.
I feel so welcome. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I just kind of
How you
popped in
doing,
to kind of
Apostle?
make sure. Man, I'm blessed. I'm wonderful. I am really, really great. I'm seeing God do marvelous and magnificent things.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing some things. Justice is coming. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. How the
Yes.
church
Go ahead,
been?
Al. How has church been?
Yeah, how the guys over at the church? We coming back
Oh,
this
amen.
week.
Oh, praise the Lord. Good. Everything is off the chart. We've got we're teaching on hearing from God on this Sunday. How to hear
Oh.
God.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, because we all hear, we don't know which, sometimes we don't know what he's saying, and sometimes we don't know which voice is his, but we can line up with it because God has a way of speaking that, that clarifies and verifies himself so that you know it was God. So we'll be talking about that on first Sunday.
Okay. Damn, it's been a
Unless the
month
Lord
already.
changes it. Yeah, it has been.
Oh, wow, these whole weeks went by quick.
Yeah, I think you were in rest mode.
No, no. I ain't been in rest mode. No, I ain't been in rest mode. I've been busy. I've been just trying to take care of my little battles, man, so I could stay strong and keep coming like how I'm coming, For real, I do things a little differently, man. I've been thinking about that too. And I don't know, when I'm going through a lot of stuff like that, I kind of work better when I bag up and just figure things out. And yeah, man, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I wouldn't call it resting though, 'cause I definitely been in my word, studying more, trying to hear God more. That's why I said that's a good topic to talk about actually. But trying to hear God more, just get my family back in order, praying more. We've been praying even though we missed the last day or so. We're praying, but we try to wake up in the morning and pray at nighttime together. We've been
Praise
starting
God.
that on this. And just trying to just bring it back, man. Stay into that holy mode, the holy, letting the Holy Spirit guide us, watching what we do. So I took the time off really to get back in tune with that because I felt like it was just needed because I was thinking about everything that was happening and everything that I did prior to starting everything, right? To start motivating people or to start going to church on a regular basis to film and things like that. I was thinking, what was I doing before all of that? you know, and I just went back into doing that. And it's been working. Mm-hmm. It's been a journey because it's been kind of hard not to come to church, too. I'm going to say that because last week, it is. Because last week, oh, man, it took me forever to be like, so just tell me, just sit down. Y'all got a lot going on. Just sit down. Like, Jeanette, we got up everything. Like, Jeanette, let's go to church. Let's go to church. And it's like, nah, man, we just going to sit down and just come back next week, man. But all of the weeks been like that, though. It's like we've been having to, like, even with the Sunday I went to Pastor Boswell Church, it was like, man, I got to go to church, man. And I felt like that was, like, the only time, too, to go to church. Well, even to see his church, I even told him that. I'm like, man, why you got to have your stuff at 10:30? I'm like, why you just don't push it back to, like, 11 or, I mean, to, like, 1 or 2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
For real, cause you know our church go on at 10:30. So no, but I've been on a little journey though, man. So I've been good. For real.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. You know, our relationship with the Lord is never going to be valuable unless we spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, you can spend time in church, but you have to spend time with Him.
Amen.
You have to quiet yourself and put yourself in a position where you can hear His voice and, you know, ask the right questions of Him. Because God always answers the question when it's asked properly.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask a question amiss, believe it or not. That's why the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss. Meaning I could be asking the wrong question of God, which lets God know that I haven't understood the problem quite right. Does that make any sense? Like, I spent a little over 5 years asking God a question that He never answered. He answered a lot of prayer. He answered a lot of other things, but He didn't answer that particular question for me. And the question that I had for Him was, why in the world am I in Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I end up here? Right? My company transferred me and everything. I was doing very well, praise God, because I was financially being structured and centered. I went from making about $24,000 a year to $100,000 a year. But the money was not important to me because I was more concerned with my soul and my emotional stability. And you know, those things were not nearly as important to me as being in a good church, hearing the word of God and continuing to get instruction from the Lord. And so I kept asking Him, why did you send me here? I don't seem to be able to find a good church. I go to one church and yeah, I like the music. I went to another church. I liked the preaching, but it wasn't revelational preaching. I'm not hearing what I'm reading and things like that. And so I asked that question for 4 or 5 years and never got an answer. Until I finally reframed the question because I understood what my problem was. And my problem was I was going to a bunch of churches, but I was not feeling the love of God in them. Mm-hmm. And then I asked the question, God, why in the world did you send me to a place that doesn't seem to have any love for your people? And then He answered the question. Now you know why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Wow.
He really answered the question. He said, now you know why you're here. But I had to identify what was wrong with me and what I was sensing. And I was just asking the general question, why am I here? I don't get it. You know, I'm doing well financially, doing well emotionally, I'm doing well in these areas, but I'm not feeling like I'm fed. And the feeding was not in the word because I could read. I could get revelation out of the Bible on my own. So it wasn't like I needed someone to preach because I was receiving from the word. And so I realized I don't feel welcome love. I walk into a church and I don't sense people going, God bless you, brother. How you doing? You know, everything all right? You need prayer for anything? I didn't see any of those things happening. People treated me like I was a stranger. When I'm saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I love the Lord, and I felt that stranger feeling, like I didn't quite belong with them. And then I realized that's a lack of love. And when I asked the right question, he answered it. But until that point, he just let me sit there and ask the same thing over and over. And
wait,
I never
wait.
Got my answer.
Wow.
Say it again.
He said, wait, wait, wait. Okay, you'll figure it out one day. Then you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like, that's my job to bring it in and show them. Because you do, hearing what you're saying and knowing the years that I spent going to different multiple churches with my mom as growing up in Madison and been to a few of them, I can honestly say that I felt that what you were feeling within other churches. And I didn't feel that feeling of what you said until I went to your church. So,
That's what he sent us to love each other. And many churches are not doing it. I mean, they love the people within side of their committees, their groups.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
exactly.
they start creating cliques, right?
Exactly.
And the cliques show up because the love is not showing up. Because if the love shows up, you'll feel like you're a part of everything in that church, and you won't feel apart from it. You know that your voice is being heard. You know that someone cares about you. You know you can walk up and talk to anybody. You don't get that, well, don't touch me because you might still have some spirits on you and all that kind of stuff in there. And there are people that are like that.
Yeah.
They're so heavenly bound, they're no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that was my experience. So when you say you're questioning God, I think a lot of times, you know, God loves questions. He just loves it when you can identify what's really wrong with you, right? Like, I can sit back and pray all day long and say things like, you know, God, why don't you make my wife better? And why won't you, you know, she just doesn't seem to get this and don't get that. And she doesn't seem to support me where I want her to support me. And she doesn't do that. And though that's the problem, I may not be identifying the real question. And the real question is, why can't I see her?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I not see why she does what she does? Why am I not seeing who she really is, and I'm seeing who I want her to be instead of who you made her to be? And when you start asking those questions, then he begins to reveal, because he knows that you're getting it. It's not really just, it's not really about that person. It's about you and how you're seeing the world around you and how you're learning to navigate it. Because no matter who you're around, God sent you to love them, not to judge
Amen.
Them, right? Not
mm-hmm.
to restructure them the way you want them to be, but to allow him to use you for them to desire to be restructured. And then you've done something. That's how I see it. You know, if you walk a walk that's so sincere and so caring and loving and true and honest before the Lord, people see that. And most people want that. Can you imagine being with somebody and you've loved them better than anybody else has ever loved them in their life? I don't mean sexually.
Right.
I don't mean you've just been, you know, you gave them all the money they needed so they could go shop when they wanted to. I'm not talking about that. That's not necessarily love. That's a byproduct of love. But when you've loved somebody in the sense that you see them, you get them, you understand their shortcomings, you understand that they're different in certain areas, you don't try to make them like you, you simply learn how to fit in with them where you can get in with them, and you begin to understand their life experiences, why they are who they are, and even though there's some things that may be wrong with them, you understand that they probably see you the same way. They see some things wrong with you, but they put up with you, but you don't want to put up with them. And you begin to learn how to love people. Someone said something to me a long time ago. Somebody just joined, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody just joined?
Yeah. Yes.
They should. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Jeanette.
Oh,
hello.
My
love, Jeanette.
Lovely baby.
How are you all doing?
We're pretty good. How are you doing, Sister Jeanette?
Oh, I'm all right. Trying to fight this cold away.
Increase your fluids, girl, and more vitamin C juices.
I know that's what I, well, I drink plenty of water. I just don't get no vitamins and stuff in.
Just keep the cold over there.
What did you just say? It'll keep the cold over there.
Yeah, keep the cold over there.
Okay. Yeah, while sleeping in the same house.
That's
right.
Gonna be the funny
my
part.
Cold is cold.
Right, right. That's what's gonna happen. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, watch what
just
you
for
ask
what he said.
Yep, exactly.
Just for what he said.
Yep,
he
that's
said,
what's going to happen.
If he said, you know what, baby, don't worry about it. If you got a cold, I got a cold. Probably never would have got it.
Or if he would have said, here, let me make you some tea, some warm tea to help soothe that cold.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have never got it.
Keep it over
there.
Keep it over for you, baby. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
You're in trouble, man. You're in trouble.
So Arnold, it's your night. Go ahead and you want to get busy? You want to get started? What are you going to do?
Yeah, definitely. Let's
open up in prayer first.
Open up.
All right.
Father God, for you today, Lord God, thanking you, Father God, for everything that you are doing. Thank you for all the people that's on the line tonight, Father God. Bless all the people that's not here, Father God. Whatever that they got going on, Father God, you know what they need, Father God. Give them what they need. So all the people that lost their lives, Father God, to the family members of the people that lost their lives, Father God, give them the strength that they need to keep moving on, Father God, in that plane crash that happened in Washington, D.C. last night or this morning, Father God. All the people that's in the cold right now that just need you, Lord God. Your people, you know what we need, Father God. Just bless and keep guiding and protect us, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So tonight, I want to, like, take it back and a few things because of that. I don't like to... like, as if I'm teaching a thing out of the Bible or, like, speaking on what I read. I don't like that because I feel like that it's not in me right now to do it. So I kind of felt uncomfortable last week with doing it. And, you know, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, just be yourself, you know. And I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I like, because it's not me, and I come off better when I am myself versus, like, I can motivate better like that versus just read it directly from the Bible and putting it in Bible terms. I don't think I'm shabby like that, and I don't like being fake with stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just want to, like, get back to, like, talking and discussing about different things that we're going through. And if we want to, he just sent me the thing. He say St. John's School, babe. But whatever, we in a group now. Just different things of what you going through. Like, that's one of my things that I'm trying to figure out right now. You know, just like different topics of what we want to discuss, you know what I'm saying? Or you maybe got revelation for somebody else or solution for somebody else, or just hearing people's problems, or just coming here to talk, you know. And one of the things I wanted to talk about this week was that is trying to distinguish my route now, right? Like, because it's not like I'm in the streets no more, you know. Like, I'm not going by, like, my old name or doing things at the street, so I'm doing things. Hold on, this is my landlord. Hold on. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't take over for him, but we can change the subject for a second. I understand what he's saying. He wants to kind of keep it as open as possible for different types of, I guess, trials for people, or maybe they tribulations or problems people may have that we can address. I understand where he's coming from.
Yes, that's where he's trying to come from, of some people that got coming. They said it was more like a Bible study instead of really trying to help with life situations or what they have going on. Now, and we went back and forth with some people saying that it's not like that.
Right.
But at the same time, he does feel like he's not trying to minister to people, but help people.
Right. And so, but
he feels kind of uncomfortable because he doesn't know scriptures or the Bible like that, so he doesn't want to try and dive into it like that when he doesn't know it like that.
Right. And see, I understand where he's coming from. So he's going to have to try and come and be, he's going to have to start diving into his Bible a little more. So, Jeanette, that's going to be your job. Look, I can't tell you your job, girl, but, you know, you get to kind of, you're going to have to kind of lead him and let him know that he has to know his audience. You know what I'm saying? Because his audience, when he invite him to the line, he do have, like he did, he kind of explained that. But he's going to always have somebody different come to the line. And when he have people different come to the line, they're looking for spiritual guidance, but they're also looking for, like, Bible study or the Word, you know. So they're bringing the Word because that's what they're looking for. But if he want to keep it social, then he's going to have to keep saying, well, as we reiterated or something like that, you know, Thursdays are for social issues and Wednesdays is for Bible study. He's going to have to always say that because, you know, people – I mean, if I came to the line tomorrow, I'm thinking I'm coming to Bible study, you know, or to talk about the Word. And this is every person who he's going to get all the time. So that's what we're going to have to kind of just keep telling them. Well, you're going to have to keep reiterating that, you know, because this is what people are looking for. And sometimes you might have to just go back to Bible study because sometimes people really be needing the Word at that time, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's more trying to be more diverse than what people need.
Right.
Knowing how to be, when to be, I guess,
You know.
And that was very well said, Dr. Donna. Well said. Because
thank you.
And the thing that you, and I'm certainly not going to tell you how to do it, I've availed the conference so that he can do what he's doing, because people do need to be encouraged. They are dealing with things that they don't understand because they are in a spiritual war and they think it's really just a natural issue, and sometimes the issues are very spiritual. But to not let people know you need Jesus is to say that you can win this thing by yourself. And you got to, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I can do nothing without Christ. And sometimes that's misinterpreted because it sends people the message, well, you can't work a job without Jesus. You can't do this without it. Yeah, you can. But if Jesus is not supporting what you're doing, who is?
Mm-hmm. All right.
That becomes the real point. Does that make sense, at least from my perspective? And again, I'm not here judging anything. That's not what I do. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to support and to help and to try to give guidance and utterance if the Holy Spirit tells me to share this. But it is important because, you know, if someone is out there and here's a good example. I think I mentioned it last night. If I did, Donna, you were there, you'll recognize it. But I mentioned this last night. I went to the Christian Giving Fund. I was invited to come there because they're asking me to get on the board of directors, right? And these people give out almost $100,000 a year to different ministries or different people in ministry and different things that they're doing in the community. And so what they do is people submit a request for funds, And then they narrow it down. They had 32 people that submitted a request. They narrowed it down to four different groups. Four groups. And the four groups that they narrowed it down to had to come to the meeting, and they had to present to the people in the audience what they were doing, how God was leading them through it, and what their outcomes were. And then the people would vote and say, yeah, I'm voting for number one, number two, number three, or number four. And then they would award the dollars based upon the votes. Does that make sense? So that's the scenario. And so I was sitting there. I'm not a member. You have to be a member of the group in order to vote. And I'm not a member, and you become a member by putting in offerings and things of that nature. And since I had never put an offering in there, I was not a member, but I was asked to come there because they felt that they were not doing as well as they could. And someone asked me if I would be willing to, you know, advise the board or join the board. So while I was there, there were four finalists, and the four finalists, one was a gentleman who was like a coach up in Stoughton, Illinois, Stoughton, Wisconsin. And in his particular ministry, he was ministering to eighth graders through high school, telling them about Jesus, taking them to breakfast, feeding them, and just sharing word with them and experiences in life with them. The majority of the kids that he's ministering to are Caucasian, right, because he's in the school system, and it's mostly his students. The second person, finalist, was a woman who helped to buy cars for people who needed them and, of course, support them with things like groceries and little things that they could do to help people who were underserved in a community. The majority of the people she was helping were black. She was white. The next person was a young man, Caucasian, who was asking for funds in order to put on a gospel rap program at the UW, right, for the students. Gospel rap for the students. The third person, the next person, final person that was asking for money, she had a clothing shop where women who were coming out of drug addiction, who've been through some experiences where they may have been abused, they've gone through the shelter, and they may need clothes and things like that, so she was helping in that manner. She too was white. And the majority of the people she was helping was black, right? And so, but each of those finalists were Caucasians. Three quarters of them were doing something that was relative to the black community. Right? Get it? Three quarters. Three out of four. The only person that was doing something in their own community was the Caucasian gentleman that was working with the kids from the school. And so there was a 3-minute question session for each finalist that you could ask questions for up to 3 minutes. And so I asked the guy that was doing the rap program, I asked him a simple question. And I said, sir, I've got my question will have about three parts to it. And here's the first part of it. What is the cultural makeup of your rap artist? Is it 80% black, 90% black, 10% Hispanic, 40% white? What is that cultural makeup? And then second part of the question is, what is the cultural makeup of the students that you're going to go and do the gospel rap program for? And then the last part of the question is, why do you think that's going to work? Right? And so it stunned him because his answer was, well, 95%. Are white, are black, that we're going to utilize. And then the other 10% are Hispanic. And then he never touched the part about the UW because 98% of the students at the UW are white. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that poor, oppressed black people are going to go up there and do gospel rap, and it's going to save rich young white people? He couldn't answer it.
Well,
does that make any sense? And
yeah.
And so what I'm saying is 3/4 of those people, and so I talked to the whole board after that program was over, and I shared with the board. They said, well, what did you think, Pastor Monroe? I said, I think this. I think that, you know, 3 out of 4 of your contestants are Caucasian people who are ministering to black people. And they said, yeah, that's true. And I said, no harm, no foul, because in all reality, your hearts shine through like a light in a very dark tunnel. I can see the good you want to do. But the message that's coming out of what you're doing is that even when it comes down to our own problems, you don't have enough confidence in black people to let them lead their own people, because you're still giving the money to Caucasians to do something in a black community that there should be black people doing.
Well,
and the guy's eyes bucked, and he said, I never even thought about that.
Well,
And then the one lady, let me go back to this, and then I'll be done with this part. You'll get it, though. And the one lady who said she gave her testimony about buying cars for people, she said, my God, we've got this young lady that we are trying to help. She's got 5 kids. She's 26 years old. 5 babies. And she said, and she's pregnant with another baby. Can you imagine her getting on the bus, having to have to cart her children around to go take care of her daily business and so forth and so on? That's why we want to get her a car. And the first thing that hit my spirit was, they're talking about getting her a car. They're not trying to show her that she shouldn't be making all those babies.
Mm-hmm.
That what she's doing is causing her own problems. Because they're not trying to tell her that she needs Jesus. They're trying to tell her, we're here to help you, regardless of how bad you're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Amen. It does.
And so I go back to what I'm saying about even the group. We can help people to try to get through their pains and their problems. But who can help them better than God? And if we don't mention or don't talk about getting that relationship with him, because it'll fix what we can only support and help and actually keep them in that madness. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I hear what you're saying, Apostle, and I believe that also is that's the only person that can help them. You know, I don't want to make it like, no, we don't talk about God. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to make it that.
Mm-hmm.
I was more so talking like with revelation. Like, you know how a person can give a situation to you and you'll go in the Bible and be like, oh, this talks about this in the Bible as far as that. You know, giving a person a revelation for that. But I was just saying not to like make it like a Bible study, you know, because a lot of people say that, but like Bible study, it's like, well, Thursday is not a Bible study, it's a group, support group. It's like, yeah, no, we talk more about the Bible. And it's like, yeah, I can see how you say that, you know, but God, you can't go around God. That's why I still want to do like the praying and, you know what I'm saying, and if it's a revelation or if somebody wants to go specifically to that, then you know what I mean, by all means. But I was just saying to keep it open as far as like different things as people may want to talk
absolutely.
About.
The subject matter. Yeah, the subject matter should be open. And I think that where people, at least for me, when I listen, when I hear what you're saying, I think that what people are doing is that they all unfortunately come through the door with a preconceived notion of what the word Bible study means. And they're thinking in their head, this is just going to be about some religion and so forth and so on. But a Bible study is really about how we use the word of God to apply it to your life so that you can conquer the problems that you think are unconquerable. It's what the Word is trying to teach, because there's no instruction book when it comes down to life but the Bible. Nobody has any answers. We got advice, right? I think that people, I could go to a guy that's you know, drinking himself to death and get advice. But I say, man, I'm just having some problems with my kids, man. I'm about ready to leave my family. He can give me some advice, but is advice going to change something in me? Or is his advice just going to be, well, I get away from them, man, because I left my family years ago. I ain't studying them women with all these kids and blah, blah, blah. And the girl I had a baby by had five other kids, and she thought I was going to take care of them kids and so forth and so on. Well, with Jesus, you can actually do that. With yourself, you ain't going to never do it. Why would you want to take care of five other people's kids? And spend your money that you are working hard for to do that. Why would you do that? Why would I put myself in that position, knowing it's a thankless position? It's not like the kids going to grow up and love you like you're their dad. There's going to be a time when the kids get old enough, they're going to sit back and you're going to say, I don't want you to do this. And they're going to go, you ain't my daddy. And if you don't have Christ, you'll go right into a crisis because you'll snap. I've been taking care of you all this time, and you've said, boy, and you'll be fighting with the kid ready to break his neck. Because you don't have Christ and don't realize that, you know, that's what I'm saying, I guess. If they separate themselves and we don't, and you know, a person doesn't have to say Jesus 15 times in a conversation to express how God has fixed them. But to be able to say, you know, since I found the Lord and since I've gotten into this relationship, I've learned some patience. My wife still gets on my nerves, but I don't overreact to that. Whereas without God, I might have overreacted. I might have blew the whole relationship because my desire to make her be a certain way and God's desire to let her grow into being the woman that she needs to be allows me to have patience. And it's a difference from the religious principles that people think are happening when we're talking about God versus the spiritual principles that we're trying to teach. Because all we're trying to teach is spiritual principles. Remember, we were talking about that last night, Arnold? There are principles in the Bible. If you use those principles, like, for instance, when you talk about Amazon, Jeff Bezos, when you talk about, if you were to go and work at those companies, you'll find that they're using spiritual principles all the time. They'll tell you about how to treat the people that you're dropping off the packages to. They'll teach you how you should communicate. And everything that they're teaching is biblical. They've grown those companies off of spiritual principles. But they just don't say Jesus. Because the principle of finances work. And they're in the Bible. They're all over the place. The spiritual principles of finances work. Knowing how to be a good steward over money is better than having money. You can take a kid that goes to McDonald's. If he's got spiritual principles in him, he can work at McDonald's and make $15 an hour starting at the age of 17. And you can take another guy who graduated from the UW and he goes to a company and makes $120,000 a year starting off. And in 5 years, the kid making $15 an hour will own a building because he's stewarding over money. The guy that's making $100,000 is a player. He's got Maseratis. He's got, you know, his suit cost him $300 for a pair for the pants or the shirt. And the suit itself might have cost him $2,000 because he's so busy impressing people, yet he's broke. Because he doesn't have stewardship principles. He's got ego principles in place. Get that? So you can have less money and do more when you understand principles over money. You can take less and do more when you understand what stewardship is. And you're the type of person that's going to put 25% of whatever you make away, because whenever you get paid, the first person that should get your money is you. And most people don't do that. They get paid, and the first thing they do is head out to Costco's and then to Whitman's and then to this location, then to McDonald's. And then I'm going over here to the steakhouse for dinner because I'm celebrating, rather than exercising a principle that says my celebration is to prepare myself for the latter part of my life because God wants me to prosper. So I'm going to put 25% of whatever I get into a bank, and it's going to be a savings account. And then I'm going to take 50% of everything I get, it's going towards the bills. And if I need to have mad money, I'm going to take the other 25%, and then I'll buy some pants and I'll buy some clothes. But if that 25% or the money that I'm putting into the clothes is overshadowing the money I'm using to pay the bills, I'll get put out the house. If I'm taking that money that I should be putting away so I can invest 25% later, and I can go and buy some stock at Amazon. I can go, and I don't have to have a lot of money to do that. I just need to go buy one share every couple of weeks until, you know, 2 years later, I've got 100 shares of Amazon, and I bought it at $150, and in 2-3 years, it's gone up to $700, and the $5,000 I invested is now $20,000 because I'm paying me. That's a principle. Am I making sense? Because we don't think like that. We think, I got to get a nice car. I got to get a brand new car. Man, a car can only go forward, backwards, turn corners, have heat and air in it. I don't care if it's new. What I care about is that it's paid for, so I'm not giving them $500 every month. That $500 a month that I'm giving them for the car, I could be putting it into some stock. I could be buying cryptocurrency. I could be buying into somebody's business, somebody that I trust, that I think has got a good business. And I go, how do I become a partner with you? How can I invest in you to grow us? I could be doing that with that $500 a month. And I'm driving a little hoopty, praise the Lord, but it goes forward. It goes backwards. It turns corners. You got good tires on it. The brakes are working. The radio works, so I can listen to some music. And it's no different than a new car, except for my ego. All
right, man.
It doesn't stimulate my ego, because nobody's running around going, ooh, man, that's a sharp ride. And so my ego
See, that's
is
my problem. I ain't gonna lie
to
you.
Talk to me.
That is my problem. For real, like, I don't know. I like that, though. Dude, look at you. Cool car, man.
Mm-hmm.
But no, but I hear what you're saying because it is backwards, though.
Let me say this, then. Since you said that, that's my problem, too, except for I'm on the other end. I guess I'm a little older now, and the nice car I did have, as I told God, thank you, Lord, I love this car. It got taken away from me. It was a nice little Camry, nothing big, nothing flashy, you know, just normal. Didn't have heated seats. What did it? No, it didn't have heated seats or none of that, you know. It was just a nice car. Now, well, let me say this. Before the accident, I got a few dollars, you know, from my little school refund that was left over after they took my money for school. I had a little bit left. I'm like, seeing a little car guy was selling across the street. He's like, he had $3,500 on it. Well, the person who was really selling the car when I went over there, he said, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I told him I only wanted $1,000. Well, he said, I only wanted $2,000 for this car. I said, $2,000? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, what's wrong with it? He said, well, it's got over 200,000 miles on it. He say, it runs. It runs kind of good. He say, but other than that, you know, it is what it is. Had a little rust spot on the side of it. Got a little rust spot over the wheel. I'm like, can I take it for a ride? I took the car for a ride. I told him I'd give you $1,500 for the car. He said, give me the $1,500. Gave it to him. Didn't know that car was going to be my future car after the car accident.
And every day I'm praying over here. I'm afraid to put the car on the highway because I won't go far in it. I don't know what it's going to do. But every day I pray, Lord, thank you. The car do have heated seats, and I accidentally bend over. I was coming from therapy and bend over on the door and hit a button. I sat back down. My back was hurting so bad, and all of a sudden this heat started radiating through the thing. I'm like, what? Am I having a hot flash? What's going on, really? Found out the thing had heated seats. I was like, thank you, Lord. And you helping my back, Jesus. $1,500. I don't care what the car looked like. You know, the only thing is I haven't trusted it far on the highway. But you think I care about somebody telling me your car look like this, your car? Man, I get from point A to point B. I can go grocery shopping. I can put gas in it. Look, it got a hole in the tank, though. I did find that out. Once you get it so far up in there, you can't put that much gas in it. But it runs. So I'm where I am right now. I don't need to be flashy. You know, as you get older, I guess you learn that flashiness don't really get you nowhere. Saving for that rainy day really do. Yeah, really do.
A little bit better when you pull up in something nice.
And you might,
but they do.
Nah, look.
I say people
I guess your, like he said, your ego in flashy places. It ain't nothing bad with having something nice. If you have it nice and it's nice, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. But I don't care.
And then I never really had nothing anyway, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as like when I came up, so that's the reason why I do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I like nice things, and that calls me bougie. But I think it's just from years of me just not having much, as you know what I mean. When I was a kid, like, I want that. If I want it, I want it.
Well, once you got it and it's paid for, and now you have it, you don't have to keep buying it. Then I understand that. But if you got to do it every year, because the Joneses got a new car, I got to go get me a new car. Something wrong with you. I'm just saying.
You know, and Arnold, you said a mouthful, because and this is why sometimes you'll hear me say things about we have to grow out of being Negro and move mm-hmm. into being Black, because it's all that oppression that we've been under, our parents have been under. If there's one thing you can see in the Black community is folks are going to wear some nice clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Even if their pockets are empty, they're going to put on some nice clothes. They're going to spend a lot of money on them clothes, even if their pockets are empty. Go into the Caucasian community, you'll find some of them Caucasian guys with them thick, funny-looking gym shoes, and they don't even look like they're tied up, and the jeans look ragged and tattered. But if you turned around and said, hey, I got this investment opportunity, we can make $1 million, I guarantee you most of them can write you a check for $100,000. But they look broke.
Yep. And it's the opposite.
I know that to be true. That's true. And that's how they don't want to come across flashy. They like being comfortable and cozy and, you know, tattered and torn. They even did it so much now. It's a fad. I mean, it's what's in, tattered jeans. When we were coming up, we better not have a hole in our jeans or pants messed up or nothing. Like, now is the thing. You got a hole in your jeans here and there. Yeah. That
mm-hmm.
came from them.
mhm. And what you learn from that, and I think maybe it is because of getting older, as our sister Donna said, because when I got saved, I started realizing how much of what I was doing was just really coming from my feeling of not being successful, my feeling of the fact that I've never been successful. I certainly bought a Cadillac. I certainly bought when I was making money. I felt good about it. And I bought a Cadillac and I bought this and I bought that. After raising five kids that weren't mine, while raising them, I was realizing how much of a strain I was putting on myself. And I started reading the Bible about financial principles. I started really looking at those financial principles. And I learned that giving was a financial principle. It wasn't an obligation. Like Brother Tavon was asking last night, what's the difference between a law and a principle? A law is something you have to do or you get punished by it. A principle is something that God gives you that you can do and you can benefit from it. But he makes it your responsibility to do it. your responsibility. It's not, I'm not forcing you to do it no more. Now it's a responsibility. So I started learning even about the principle of giving and started realizing that giving is part of the thing that breaks the curse of being in poverty. It broke the curse. I stopped worrying about money. So my next go around when I got the car halfway paid off, the next time I bought a car, I went and bought me a hoopty. Paid for. No car note. And I saved more money than I'd ever saved in my life. And I said, wow. And I was giving to the church. I gave to, you know, there were times that I gave for the offering. I never felt like I had to do that tithing thing. And so I was so grateful to God. There was times I gave 15% of my income. There was times I gave 7%. There were some weeks I didn't give anything. But whenever I had it to give, I gave. There were some times that I just blessed the man of God that I felt like was teaching me so much, my pastor, Reverend Richard House. I would write a check and say, this is for the pastor. And, I mean, money started flowing like crazy because they were spiritual principles. I started learning I had to give to the poor. I had to give to the people that didn't have. So I began to take clothing out of my closet instead of just letting it sit there for years, thinking I'm going to get back to it or I'm going to be able to fit it in the next 6 months or whatever. I started taking, and I don't mean ragged, tattered stuff. I mean stuff that I like. Because when you give, you can't give what you, because you don't want it. You have to give things that you actually care about. Because then it's a sacrifice. And so I started taking bags of clothes down to the Salvation Army. And I wouldn't give it to the Salvation Army. I would go in every Sunday morning when the people were there for breakfast, they were homeless, and then I would open that bag right outside the front door and say, take what you want, because the Lord told me if you give it to them, they're going to put it on the shelf and sell it. It may be cheap, but they're still going to make money off of it. You want to be a blessing. Give it to the people. I'd open up the bag and say, select what you want. And then even my family began to see it and appreciate it. They started sending stuff, kids' clothes, so forth and so on. And I kept getting more blessed because I was understanding the principle of giving. What Jesus meant when he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. But what he was saying is you got to be the first one to take the step because it's a step that breaks poverty. Me holding on to my money shows that I have an impoverished mentality. See, I'm broke. No matter if I got $500 or $5 million, I still feel broke. And so I'm so scared that I'm not going to have something, I can't give anybody anything. And it becomes a principle that God uses to break the spirit of poverty. And we have been up under the spirit of poverty in this country for 400 years. And so that's why we have to buy all these clothes. That's why we got to try to look a certain way, because we're really trying to defeat that feeling of hopelessness. I ain't made it yet. And that's why God becomes your, he's the focus of, am I pleasing him? Because when we move into that type of a focus, you start worrying about what people think. You stop worrying about them saying something about the car you're in. Why does that matter? You don't pay for it, no way. If it was a new car, you wouldn't go pay for it. And if it's an old car and it breaks down, you ain't going to run over here and fix it. So why do I care what you're saying about it? What I do know is if I'm driving a car that I've paid for and I don't have a car note, I have that extra money at the end of the month. Because if I can pay $400 a month on a car note, that means once I get a car that I don't have to pay for, that's $400 a month that I could be doing things to better my circumstance, further my family, and try to create some generational wealth so that my children don't walk in the same impoverished mentality that I walked in. And so you have to break those curses. They're curses. And they've been introduced by this country and this culture. They've always had us feeling like we don't have anything and we don't have hope. I don't feel like, and I don't know if you feel like this, but most of us don't feel like we can walk into IBM and say, give me a job as a general manager, the one that pays $275,000 a year. We walk into that place going, I hope they give me a job in the mailroom. However, you could be qualified to be the general manager, but because of color and because of the racist mentality that we know exists in this country, we don't have the expectation of growing into the president's office or growing into a VP's position or growing into an upper management position. Why? Because we believe what they have been lying to us and telling us for 400 years. And that's why I always mention we have to break the spirit of Negro. I don't mean we have to break being our color. I'm saying you have to break what they've told you about your color. James, the second chapter, makes this statement. He says, do you know that every good gift and every perfect gift was sent down by the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning and there is no variableness? I read that. It blew my mind because I started thinking about, well, what is the gifts that God gave us? Well, my color is one of those gifts. It's not like I asked for the color. It was given to me. It's not like I asked for my height. It was given to me. It's not like I asked for these things. They came in from above. So therefore, I don't have to be ashamed or feel lowly because of my color. I don't have to apologize for being black, nor do I have to walk in an apologetic mentality when I am standing in front of the governor or the president. I now know your color is your gift, my color is my gift, and what I need to do is learn how to live up to the gift. Not live down in it. I need to learn how to live up in it. And then I hope I'm making sense. Because when I start thinking from how to live up to the gift that God gave me, then I make this gift excellent. I make black excellent. I make the way I talk excellent. I make the way that I approach people excellent because it's a gift and I want them to see the gift that God gave me. I want them Amen. To see the gift that I am. I'm not only, I could care less what you think the gift is. When I come and I expound on the gift, when I sit down in front of you and you start talking about your education and your background and your this and your that and how you the district manager of this amazing company and you got all the sense in the world, but yet you've got just as many problems at home as I do. But yet you've got just as many financial woes as I do. But yet I now know all of that meant nothing because you don't even get the gift. I can tell you while you're sitting here, you got all them issues, Mr. District Manager. My household has peace in it. I respect and appreciate my wife. I know how to raise my children. I don't just have them anymore. I know how to have them. I know how to see them. I know how to raise them, rear them. I know how to encourage them. I know how to bring them up in the manner that God wants me to bring them up now because the gift is now excellent. I now understand. I hope I'm making sense. I now understand what God has done in me. My blackness really is beautiful, but it's no more beautiful than white is. It's no more beautiful than Chinese or Indian. But if I don't ascend to my own beauty, oh God.
Amen.
If I don't allow myself to understand my own beauty because I keep listening to what they say I am and what they say I've been and what they pulled off and all the lies, the cheating, the manipulation, the poverty they introduced into my life, then I don't break that curse. I function in the curse. Does that make sense? You can function in a curse, right? Just like you can function in a bad relationship, you can learn to function in the curse. And that's what survival is. It's functioning in the curse. When Jesus came to die for us so that we don't survive, but we thrive. I want to live. I don't want to just get by. I want to live. I choose life. And in order to choose life, if it means I got to read some extra books, I'm going to read. If it means that I have to learn how to articulate myself better, to express my ideas and my thoughts and my feelings to people, I'm going to learn those things. If it means that I have to learn a better way to communicate with my significant other so she and I get along together, I'm going to learn those things because I want the gift to be excellent. My black means something because God gave it to me. It's not a fight all the time and a complaint and a worry. Does that make any sense? And so, you know, for me, that's what I've learned in the Lord. That's what he's revealed to me. And I walk in that. I try my best to walk in excellence. I don't say negative things to people. I'm not sitting back and trying to pretend I'm better than anybody. But I'm also not walking around with the mindset that I'm worse than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've got a PhD and just because you became a doctor, you had those opportunities. I didn't. But I got an opportunity to make a doctor out of myself.
Amen. Amen. Say that.
There's nothing that you got that you didn't learn from a book. If I read the same book, I'm going to get the same knowledge. And if I've got the same knowledge, I'm now equal.
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Amen.
Donna is a nurse. Right, Donna?
Amen. Yep.
You became a nurse by reading the books, remembering the concept and the science and the information in the books. You took some tests, and you became equal to every other nurse.
Mm-hmm. Just about. Yeah.
Ain't nobody looked down on Donna and say, well, you still a CNA, girl.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a nurse. Why? Because I read the same book that the nurse read. And I got the same knowledge the nurse had. You give me the knowledge that a dentist have, I'm a dentist. You let
I'm
me get the knowledge that a banker has, I'll own a bank. You give me the same
Amen.
Knowledge that you have when you opened up your business and I learned how you did it, then I'm going to be a business owner.
I'm also a carpenter. Look, and I got that from the knowledge of Jesus.
My God.
Jacks of a lot of trades. Yep. I'm working on teaching. So praise the Lord. Any book
Hallelujah.
You read, like he said, yeah, you can do it. And that's another one of my mottos. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. So achieve it. Yep.
And if you know who you are, every good and perfect gift is sent down, which means it's already here. It's
already
he'll send down. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say every good and perfect gift God will send down from the Father of lights, and then there'll be no shadow of turning. There won't be any variableness. Variable means that it's fluctuating. It's changing all the time. It's good some days, bad some days, it's hot some days, it's cold some days. That's variable. He's saying there is no variableness in your blackness. It was a gift, a good and a perfect gift. And when I accept that, man, there's no teacher, there's no doctor, there's no lawyer, there's no anybody. I know when I began to understand this, I don't know if anybody here has ever been arrested before and had to go to court and have a lawyer. But when I used to go to, if I had to go to court back in the days before I started understanding God, then I would go to the court. And if the lawyer said, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and I'm hoping the judge will only give you a year in jail and so forth and so on. I'm not saying that that happened to me, but I'm saying I've had lawyers. I would sit there and go, okay. Why? Because I thought he was so much smarter than me that he knew what he was doing, and I didn't. When I began to realize I hired you, and I began to treat him as though I hired him. Hold on for a minute. Let me tell you what my expectations are. Here's my expectation. When you go in here and you talk to the judge, I'm expecting to come out with this result. Can you do that? You can't. Then I need to fire you and hire the person that can. When I go to the doctor, I had an appointment set up for me, set for February 7th. To go see an ophthalmologist. And I called the people and I set appointment. And the young lady that set the appointment says, Well, he's got a very busy schedule, and he may be available on this day. You'll need to be here at this time and that time and this time and that time, and you'll need to do this. And I stopped her. I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? And she said, well, certainly, sir. What is it? I said, am I paying him or is he going to pay me?
Okay.
She said, what? I said, when he gets my insurance money, is it me paying him or is he paying me? She said, well, you'll be the one paying. I said, that's my point, ma'am. You keep telling me what I need to do. Let me tell you what I expect from him.
Okay.
Is he a good doctor? Has he had success in this area? Does he know what he's doing with this? What's his reviews like? And when I hire him, if he doesn't act right, he's going to get fired immediately.
Hmm.
They sent me over to last week, seriously, they sent me over to an ophthalmologist. Another guy, different guy. And when I got there, he worked at the UW. When I got there, they just set the appointment because I had gone to the emergency room. They wanted to check my eyes. And so they sent in an ophthalmologist. He says, yeah, I see this and I see that. We can deal with that. And then 2 days later, when I left the hospital, I get this letter in the mail that says, go to the UW at this time to see this doctor. So I called him and said, okay, I'll be there. I showed up at the doctor's office, and he sent in his assistant. The assistant came in and said, okay, sir, take this piece of thing, hold it in front of your face. Tell me what letters you can read on this board, so forth and so on. I said, I'd love to, but why? Don't you do that with every patient? He says, well, yeah, of course. We want to know. He says, I'm just trying to check your vision and see how well your vision is. I say, no, I understand what you're doing. I'm asking you why you're doing it. You made this appointment. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He said, excuse me? I said, so you need to tell me why the doctor has me here, what it is the doctor believes he can do for me other than give me a bill. And he says, well, sir, I can't answer all those questions. I'll get the doctor. I said, yeah, please do. So when the doctor came in, we sat down, and he says, you know, and he looked at me like I was a troublesome patient. I said, let me make sure you understand very clear. I said, sir, I'm not trying to cause an argument. I'm not trying to be indifferent, and I'm certainly not trying to be a bad patient, but I don't know you. Are you the same doctor that saw me in the emergency room? He said, no. I said, then why did they send me to you? He says, what? Well, I'm an ophthalmologist. I said, I know what your vocation is. I asked you why I'm here, because you set an appointment. You said, they said, send me over here to you. You should be sitting here talking to me and saying, Mr. Monroe, I've got you here because I believe I can do this. I believe we can help. I believe we can do these things for you, those things for you, but we're going to need to take some tests. You didn't say anything. You just sent some people in here to start taking tests, which is not going to do nothing but run up a bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get this bill that comes from you. It says I owe you $3,000, and then you will say, come back. If you can't help me, don't hurt me. Does that make any sense?
Amen.
I honestly say, I said these things to him because I hired him. This is my money I'm spending.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to tell me what you're doing for my money, I'm not going to pay you. Period. And I told them that. You're supposed to be sitting here saying, the reason you're here is because of this. Here's what we think is going on. Here's what we think is going to be your treatment path. Here's what we think are going to be the results. You don't just get to tell me to sit down and start taking tests and look in this thing, let me dilate your pupils and let me do this and let me do that. And then after you've done all that, go, well, I think you've got a problem. Already know I got a problem. What I want to know is, do you have a solution?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I hope I'm making some sense. Because when we don't understand stewardship principles, we literally will. You know what the word capitulate means, which means to surrender your mind? We will capitulate to people that we think have more sense than us. And they have no more sense than you. They got maybe a better education, but they don't have any more sense than you, especially over your own life. They don't have more sense than you. They've got more education. They've got a degree in something. But they got the same issues in their life that you got in yours. And if you don't realize that you are blessed, highly favored, and who you are is a gift, that God has given you gifts, you'll never use them. You'll just kind of go, okay, well, the police officer said. Well, why did you say it, Mr. Officer? Why are you saying that? What law mandates that you did what you just did? Well, you're saying what you're saying to me. It's okay. I'm going to comply if you can tell me the why. If there's no why, just other than the fact that you want to feel like you got some power and you can make me do whatever you want to do because you got a badge and a gun, we need to talk. In fact, let me call your boss because I got his phone number. Let's find out what you're doing here. Does that make any sense? And that's when you begin to understand who you are in God. There's no higher authority on this planet than your God.
Amen. Yeah.
And if he lives in me, man, he gave me some authority. And I don't have to just sit back and go for everything and anything all the time. I have questions. This is my life that I'm living. I choose to ask questions about what you do, why you do it, how you do it, what's it for, and what I can expect from this. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go back. I'm sorry, Arnold. Let me get back to you. I'm so sorry because I'm just sharing. We got to know what our gifts are. You got gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Your gifts are just as important as the doctor's gift.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord.
Amen.
Your gifts are just as important as the doctor's gift. Your education is different, but your gifts are given by God, and they're good and perfect gifts. Mm-hmm. And the more I learn to use them, man, the farther they're going to take you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I know your subject, I'm sorry. I got into just trying to explain.
No, it really wasn't a subject. This actually was a good one, though. It really wasn't a subject. We just open discussion. We talk about whatever. That's what I was pretty much aiming towards, but no, it wasn't no specific subject or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
I definitely what you were saying, just like what you were saying last night when you speak the truth. You know what I mean? It's like the truth will take you a long way. You know what I mean? And that's what happened. We got house out here. It was like we just came to him and just kept it real, versus trying to
lie. What does keep it real mean? Explain that. How did you keep it real? What did you do?
I just told him the truth. Like, you know, I don't have the best credit. You know, I have a background. I have evictions that from my past relationships. And, you know, I've been with my fiance for 6 years now. And we just looking for a place to stay, man. And we just want to, you know, try to build our credit and get it and buy a house soon. And, you know, and it was like music to his ears because he was saying that he was a real estate agent and, you know, he was willing to give us a try. And, you know, it was just a blessing because once we just kept it real and just put all our cards out there, like, man, look, this is what we're dealing with. You're going to always get honesty from us. We even were so honest to tell him about Jeanette's Chihuahua dog that she got because he didn't even want pets here, you know. And it was just the honesty of it all, and he let the dog come. He was like, man, you know,
look at God,
like, for real. That's what they had called me earlier when I had to click over because he wanted us to go to some Christian school thing out here, a Christian school for the kids. We're gonna go check it out another time and just see. But man, it's good, though, man, you know, just from keeping it real and just putting it all the cards out there, not trying to lie.
Mm-hmm. That's
good.
Yeah, it works.
It definitely do.
So go ahead. I don't know wherever you want to take the conversation from here. I'm just kind of here trying to be an observer and involved.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't. That was pretty much it. I just wanted to just like how we want to have different topics, keeping it shorter too. At like the hour mark, you know, that not having like a specific subject, like anything somebody could be dealing with, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much. And me trying to figure out what I was doing as far as my motivational thing. I think I'm dealing with like trying to find the new me and trying to find just finding the balance of it all, you know, because I can get so wrapped up in church and it's like everything is church. And I don't feel like nothing's wrong with it. But I feel like in the midst of me doing that, I kind of like bagged up so much from the motivation as I was. And that's what I wanted to talk to about tonight. And just to see if, like, you know, you guys had like different ideas, maybe like, I don't know, different solutions. Because I was just trying to wing it and just continue to keep doing what I'm doing, and just diving more into hearing God of what he wants me to do. Like, I was finna, like, completely stop the group. I actually did stop the group. I told the apostles, we had talked last week about it briefly, and I had told the family members, and then, like, I went to go on with my Thursday, and last week, it was like, a lot of y'all, Brother Ray came. Yeah, and so it was like, God telling me, and I felt it before, after I told the apostle, like, no, this is what I sent you to do, you need to figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. He gave you a job. Don't be like Jonah, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Even with the motivational, even with the order of the day, stuff like that is like, that's definitely what I've been hearing. It's like, just like to figure it out and not to stop it.
Right.
So, you know, a lot last week was seeing y'all still come on here, you know what I mean? Like, I was shocked, like, whoa, you know, like, and I know, like, what people were saying last week, like, it's all something different somebody going through, but just keeping it up, you know. So I just appreciate it, man, and I'm thankful that you guys came out, and especially for the apostle, you know, for helping out every week, you know, because I know he was a busy man, and just to take the time, you know, and, you know, to teach us and, you know, and give us the good word. You know, I've just been thinking a lot about that. And just different ways I could step up and, you know.
Well, amen. Keep doing it. So, keep doing it. The more you do it, the more it gets easier.
Yeah, and keep learning.
Keep learning.
You know, because what I believe God is saying to you is take it to another level. But a lot of times, even with church, and a lot of pastors may not admit this, but it's true of every pastor. There's a million times you kind of go, I'm through preaching. You feel like people may not be getting it. They don't appreciate it. They certainly don't seem to be doing what it is they're being taught about. And you feel like that. And we all get to a place where we want to go, let me throw in the towel. But how many of you know God has a way of saying you ain't throwing in nothing?
I know, right? Thought it was that easy.
Your plan don't mean nothing to me.
Right. He's like,
and he'll turn around and put you out of the situation where you got to keep doing what you're doing. And you go, well, what? And that's part of how he speaks to us.
Amen.
His will becomes obvious at some point. You start realizing, I got to do this even if I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get better at it, right? Maybe I have to learn new ways to express this. And maybe I, you know, so God just has a way. But going back to your other point, so what do you think you should do? You brought that up and said, you know, maybe there's some ideas. Sister Donna, what do you think is like on subject matter? Or should there be specific subject matter? I know you bring it up every week, Arnold, right? Mm-hmm. You'll go, well, the topic of tonight is this. But should you have a planned subject matter?
I think
for
so.
For instance.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For instance,
elaborate.
I'll say you ask me the question, so I'll answer. You say, I think what some things that we can do, Arnold, is talk about worldly ways, like what's happening in the world today, you know, and what people, we're going to always pray, could open up with prayer, you know, just to start it and tell people this is, I was talking to Jeanette while you was talking to your landlord, telling everybody this is not Bible study, you know, night, but this is social study night, you know, so what's going on socially around the world, you know, like we can take this plane crash, for instance, and talk about, you know, we can open up with something like that and let's pray for those families, you know, what other ideas do people have or what does anybody want to talk about? Do anybody need prayer in case somebody do need prayer, you know? Do anybody want to talk about anything happening, you know, other than that, you know, outside? How's your week? You do that all the time. How's your week? So that's a good thing, you know, showing that you are in tune with people and the just the general things that's going around the world. How do we think we can contribute to things to make it better? Something like that, you know. And every week does have a different, like you said, subject matter, but have a plan going into it where you can say, hey, look, you guys, how do you like, what do you think about if we study or if you, we learn this for the next week and then we come back and have something to talk about it on, you know, stuff like that. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a good thought. My thought is what you should probably do is segment out what you want to talk about, like Donald said. But maybe you should have a month of talking about family. And what it's like to be in family and, you know, what challenges you have and how do you overcome those challenges and do it for 4 whole weeks. Maybe the next one is about finances. And, you know, how do we get out of this poverty? How do we break these yokes that we've been dealing with? And then the current event part that Donna's talking about, what does Trump mean to our money? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because even right now, just as a side note, even right now, Trump being in office is making a lot of people a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. That is.
And not just billionaires, but people that know that it's time to go and invest in stocks because the stock market is taking off. Stock market's at 44,000 points. That's why we have to study. When the Second Timothy scripture says, study to show yourself approved, the workman rightly dividing the word of truth that needeth not be ashamed. I found it interesting that it didn't say study the Bible to show yourself approved. It said study, one singular word covering every subject on the planet. I should study my body. I should study my wife. I should study my children. I should study. Study to show yourself. I should know about stock. Maybe I don't understand it right now. But I'm never going to understand it if I don't look it up. If I don't go, I can type into Google right now and say, how do stocks function? And Google will give me the answers. Google is the most amazing subject matter expert on the planet right now. And if I study, what are the best stocks to invest in? How do you know? It'll tell me. What does this mean about? What's the Dow? What is the S&P? What is a blue chip stock? And it'll give you back that information, and now you're studying. You know, how does a car actually work? Studying. And then you become a subject matter expert. And in what you study, that's what you then talk about. Because you've become a subject matter expert on the thing that you're talking about. So you can actually give people guidance versus it being just a general conversation and somebody says, yeah, well, I don't know nothing about stocks and I'm not putting my money out there for them people to steal my money and blah, 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 blah. Because that's what will happen because they don't have any study in it. But if you study it, you'll be able to say, well, let me share with you, brother, how that thing works. Right?
Right?
If we talk about family, let's talk about how families, you know, what do we want in a family? What do we look for when we even get involved with someone? Do we look for anything? Is it just the attraction part where we just kind of go, she's fine or he's fine, and we get caught up, and next thing you know, we got kids, and we hate each other 5 months later after the child is born, and he's ready to leave or she's ready to take the baby and go. And, you know, what is it that we look for? What do we want from this? And that causes people to think. Wow, that's a good question. I've never really thought about these things. I'm just doing them because I'm surviving. I'm not living yet. Does it make any sense? When I start living, I'm making choices on how I live. When I'm surviving, do you understand what I'm saying? First off, I mean, have a study program that you're going through. 4 weeks, we're going to talk about family. Next 4 weeks, we'll talk about this. Next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about that. Everybody go study up, or everybody kind of put your thoughts together on this subject so we can come together and figure out how to win. Because if I leave off this phone and I haven't heard anything that helps me to win, then I'm still going to be losing.
Amen.
I mean, doesn't make sense to go to college and go through 4 years and not get a degree.
Okay.
I want the degree. That's why I'm going. And so when people show up here, they're coming here for a reason. And the reason is not just for them to talk. They're looking for answers. And they're looking for solutions and understanding. How do I understand the things around me, the world that I'm in? Who am I? Why am I even in the world? Right, am I just a byproduct of two people coming together having sex? Or am I something that God specifically, someone that God specifically put on this planet with a purpose, with a reason? Is there some wisdom to my life? Am I an accident or am I providence? And I just don't know how to act out the providence part. And I think that that's why people show up for church and everything else. Nobody comes to church just to see somebody sing or just listen to a word. They come to church because they're hoping this is the week I get the thing that I've been looking for so I can understand how to proceed. I got to know how to win. I'm tired of losing.
Amen.
Stop. Praise the Lord. Jeanette, you have any ideas and thoughts?
I think she just got her headphones in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, those are my thoughts.
No, dear, my aunt is great. And we got to try that. We definitely do. Okay. And we can start doing it like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
Yep, and then when other people are on the line, you know, they'll have ideas, and then we can take those ideas and be like, okay, let's go look into that for the next week, you guys, or for the next month. You know, let's do that subject matter. Let's talk about that. Like Apostle said, you know, and give everybody a chance to get questions answered, and you know, you're going to always have somebody come back with something. So it's going to be good. It'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could do that.
Did someone else join? We have Jeanette, we have Brother Arnold, we have Sister Donna, we have Sister Jeanette. Is there anyone else here?
Yeah, I found my phone.
No.
I think it's in the kitchen.
So I think that might be helpful, Arnold.
Yeah. No, I could definitely take that. It was some nice ideas. And we're just going to keep learning together.
Yeah, and with Sister Donna, who has an expertise in medicine, and health. Mm-hmm. There should be a health segment. The gifts are here.
Yeah,
a health segment with Sister Donna's talking about eating principles and, you know, health principles, better ways to better your outcomes, you know, little things like that. You know, like most people don't know the average black male should have a PSA test by the time they hit 45.
Mm-hmm.
Many black men don't even know what a PSA test is.
I was going to say, what is that?
It's the test that tells you if you have prostate cancer or not, or things that is monitoring your prostate.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was 40.
Yeah, it could be. 40 is really good for us because we consume a lot of pork, right?
Yeah,
most men,
true.
Most people, there are some people who die at the age of 70, 70, 75, and they die with prostate cancer never knowing that they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And typically by the time they find out they have prostate cancer, it's too late because they don't take prostate-specific antigen tests, PSA, prostate-specific antigen. And it is a test in the blood where they can literally look and see if there's cancer forming or there's a number that they can monitor. And if your PSA is above a certain number, they go, you may have prostate cancer or you're having prostate issues.
Yeah.
And for African Americans, they end up with the disease and dying because nobody ever told them about a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know it exists because we're not sharing that kind of information. And Donna has that knowledge.
Well, we can study that knowledge. Unless you're really in that, like, certain specific area, you don't really study that. But if, you know, somebody say, hey, we want to study this, I'll definitely go look into it, you know. Yeah, I'm a baby. I'm a baby vent nurse. So I can tell you some stuff about the vent for pediatric patients. And since God put it in before he made me a pediatric vent nurse, I took care of patients on vent that were elderly. So I could tell you something about that, trachs and G-tubes. I could tell you all about that, different areas. But if we have a specific something we want to know, then, I'll go look into it and bring it back to the group. You know, that wouldn't be a problem. For instance, like men don't know that. Well, men know that. Most men know that women go get a mammogram. But most men don't know that they need to go get one too, because males also get chest. I say chest cancer, but it's breast cancer, breast tumor. You know, and that's just because they have some. The prostate don't always have to be cancerous. It could be enlarged, and they can have a lot of pain. You know, my dad is going through that, so he taught me before he, you know, kind of stopped talking a lot, and I started going to the doctor with him. That's how I start learning about that portion. But, yeah, all of that is really good information that you can put out there. I always have something like leading, something they can take away, some good information.
Praise
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, Arnold, you should sort of kind of go, okay, I want to do 4 weeks of this particular subject, study the subject. That's what Donna's teaching us. Even though she's a nurse, she doesn't know everything. Okay,
right.
To go study that subject. So that when you discuss it, you have some solutions and you have some ideas that other people can say, man, I'll try that, Brother Evans. That was good. You know, I never thought to sit down and read a book with my kid. I never thought about that because nobody ever did it with me. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Just sitting here listening to y'all, I done came up with different ideas and stuff too. Yeah, no, that's good. I'm going to definitely start switching it up. And if anybody else got like subjects they want to bring up or whatever, you know, don't hesitate to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I even went and got, I was listening to, you know, how sometimes you look at YouTube or you're looking for something on YouTube and then they come out and these doctors come on there. It's a doctor on there. He popped in doing one of my studies, I could say. His name is Dr. Liv, I think it's Living Well or Living Good. he had some mm-hmm. great information about why he, when he became a doctor, what he thought he was getting into, and now how he actually hate, he say, I hate doctor. I hate being a doctor. I hate what I learned when I went into it. You know, it's not what mm-hmm. I thought it would be. He can't understand how come the industry is trying to keep people sick instead of helping mm-hmm. them, really. And mm-hmm. he does talk about it's because of the pharmaceutical, you know, and how much money they make and this and that. But he came out with several books, and I got one of them because it's about living well, living good, stuff you should eat, stuff you shouldn't eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could share that. That's, these are good things, yeah.
That would be that. Wonderful.
Yep.
There's a book, Sister Donna, there's a book mm-hmm. by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Earl Mendel. And Dr. Mendel wrote a book called The Bible for Herbs and Vitamins. The Herbs
okay.
and Vitamin Bible is the name of it. And there's so much powerful information in that on things that you have in your kitchen that
mm-hmm.
you use to season your food. But if you
mm-hmm.
went and got the raw product and ate it the way it was supposed to be eaten, before
mm-hmm.
they start adding all these additives and things that cause you harm, they would actually make you well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. For instance,
a, child,
a lot of people.
Okay,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
For instance, a lot of us didn't know when I found this out, and I actually did the study on it, and I can tell you it does work. A lot of African, a lot of people don't know that. I ain't going to say only African Americans, because I believe they were talking about Caucasians too when they said this.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a red onion and ginger root, mix it together and put it in a bottle, wash your hair with it. They said to wash your hair with it for 2 weeks straight. But, of course, we know African Americans don't wash their hair every day for 2 weeks straight. It'll break off. It'll get dried out. It would actually grow your hair. And so I looked it up and I tried to figure out why is this so. Ever since I was a little girl, I want to know why this is so. And so, well, the red onions do stimulate hair follicles in your scalp. And so does the ginger root. Put that together with, I bought some shampoo from Walmart, actually, that had tea tree oil in it. Yeah, my hair has grown over an inch in less than 3 weeks. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's another book, Arnold. It's not even a book. If you just look online, look up Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow, Mazlov. He was a child psychiatrist, very, mm-hmm. very famous. And he has a pyramid of family interaction, how to raise a child and how to keep a how a child grows up healthy. And it starts off with the first level of the pyramid, which says a child has to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about how you have to feed them three times a day for sure. It talks about you have to keep violence and arguments away from around the child.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the first pyramid of a healthy family. And it's correct. You know, it's very correct. I learned, you know, when I started realizing what I was doing in my own household, thank the Lord that he allowed me to see me. And I realized, man, there was some times I'd sit back and argue with my wife and, no, no, it ain't going like that. So early in my relationship with the Lord, I still had some of those things in me. But when I started reading stuff like that, I realized, wow, I'm hurting the child because we're arguing, and it never dawned on me that the child is afraid that we're about to break up. Because we're their safety. That kid is sitting there going, I'm safe with mom and dad or stepdad and stepmom, whoever. I'm safe here. This is where my food comes from. This is how I keep it. How we got a roof over our head. We got laughter in the house. And then they hear that, and the first thing the child thinks is there's going to be a breakup, and the child becomes rebellious, and then the child becomes over-energetic. And we're thinking that it's he's just turned into a bad kid, or he's just, you know, he just can't control them anymore. And never realize that we're causing some of it. And that a change of behaviors will actually change the child.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't think of the kid as being afraid or scared because they ain't old enough to understand what we grown folks are talking about. No, they're not. But children are very spiritual. They can feel something is wrong even if they don't know what's wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Abraham Maslow. That's how you get to the family stuff. M-A-Z-L-O-V, I believe it is.
L-O-V? Maslow. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So we're at 7-11. Arnold, what do you want to do?
No, we can close out. Tonight was a good one. It was definitely good one. I want to call you though sometime tomorrow before Sunday though to see how you want to just continue to keep running the stuff that we were doing or you know how you wanted to do stuff. So I'll give you a call.
Yeah. Okay. Do so. Let me ask Jeanette a question. Jeanette, are you still here?
Jeanette, yeah.
You still here, dear?
Yes.
Okay. So, so do you want to continue with the things we used to do? On the counseling side and things like that?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You do? Okay. All right. So, let's talk probably tomorrow afternoon. I've got tons of appointments tomorrow morning, Brother Evans. So let's talk tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening early, and let's discuss that. Because, you know, my hope and my prayer as I leave tonight, as I get ready to leave here, I'm just saying my hope and my prayer is that the people of God would prosper and be in good health as their souls would prosper.
Yeah.
That is what he said. This is what my hope is for the people of God, that you would prosper, be in good health as your souls will prosper. And the key to prospering is to be able to take some instructions and actually do it. Imagine reading the Bible and doing none of the things that's in it. How do we expect? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Imagine reading a book about driving a car and then never drive the car. It sort of kind of becomes senseless, right? It's a desire, but it's not a want to win. And all it takes for life to get better is a want to win and a hate of losing. I'm tired of losing. I don't want to lose. It really is simple. I don't want to lose anymore. I don't want to go through another. I don't want a divorce. I don't want to break up no more. I don't want to have kids over there and over here no more. It takes a desire to not have that anymore in order to beat it. I don't want to be broke. That's why you work. And so the action of working is a message to poverty that I don't want you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So if we go forward, let's go forward with that mentality. I don't want to lose. I am in it to win it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're in it to win it because you can win this. There's nothing that can stop you when you really accept that you are gifted and God put you here, not by accident.
Yeah,
he used two people to get you here, but he sent you. He sent me here, and I just need to know why he sent me, and I need to know what he wants for my life, and then I need to do those things, and the rest of it sort of kind of takes care of itself. Don't have to be a brilliant person. I just need to be an obedient person. The rest of it will take care of itself. So, yes, sir.
What you thinking, like, 4 or 5?
Yeah, about 4 o'clock on should be good.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir.
And on the Thursday nights, put your program together. I may pop in, I may not pop in, because this is your night. You and Donna can handle this. Donna's very spiritually in tune. very spiritually in tune. You all can handle this, because if I jump in, I'm going to talk about the Lord. Cause
amen.
Praise God.
Look, that'd be awesome. I love listening here about the Lord. But, you know,
But there's some people who Arnold's, but I think there's some people, Donna, that Arnold's right about. They just need to talk. They need to get some things out of them. And, and being in that forum where they can just talk and not have to hear or not hear certain things allows them to dump out enough so that when they do hear about Christ, their hearts will be softened and they'll actually be able to go, maybe I should try God. That's all we're trying to do. I mean, every week we come here, we're just trying to get people to go, try God. Try it. If it don't work, go back to doing what you were doing. Give them a year. And if it don't work, it's not like drugs and alcohol and mischief and madness won't still be there. In fact, Satan is doing push-ups and pull-ups while you come out of this thing. And when you go back to him, you'll find he's stronger than he was when you left. But to just try him and give him a chance to fix some things, it's an amazing process. So, Arnold, why don't you have Sister Donna close us out in prayer, please?
Yes, sir.
All right. Father, we thank you for another learning event. God, thank you for what you have gave us, Lord.
Thank you for the
prayer, God. Lord, we know that all things is possible through you, so we're going to continue to look forward towards you, God. Lord, we seek your faith and asking you which way to lead Arnold at this thing, oh God. Lead him in the direction, Lord, in which you want him to go, Father. And, Lord, let him bring good fruit to the table, oh God. Father, let him know that he have people here that's supporting him on every end, oh God. And, Lord, that you continue to bless and strengthen us through supporting him, Father. Father, we just thank you for another night. Lord, thank you for all the education, all the understanding. Thank you for everything that was brought. Let it go and fall on good ground that it may grow. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we continue to ask you to bless and keep each family that wasn't represented here, that did not come tonight but wanted to, Father. And we just continue to ask you to bless the ones that were here. Father, we thank you for all the things you are giving us. In Jesus' mighty name, keep us safe as we travel throughout your earth, Lord. Bring us back to the appointed time at the appointed place. Father, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful closing prayer, Sister Donna. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love everybody. I hope to see you all soon. And then we certainly will be talking on Wednesday or Thursday.
Amen. Love you all.
Love you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.